Okay, welcome back. What we're hearing from the funeral director in the UK is probably very similar to what we hear from a funeral director here. And if any of you out there want to come forward, no names needed, and fill us in on what your observations are, we would like to hear that. So just contact me through the site, and we'll get back to you. This is a very important story. Nothing new on Cumbre Vieja yet, although I noticed Hal Turner, never one to miss a sensational story, has got hold of it, and it's you know, he's done a reasonable job. It shows many of the inundations with a 300-foot or less tsunami, how far up it goes and stuff. There's a nice graphic in this one. New York City to Boston. It shows how far the penetration would go depending upon the height of the surge of the tsunami. So there's a good, interesting one. Okay, let's go back to the UK funeral director. Any comment at this point?
No, it's I'm curious to hear the rest of it because that's about as far as I got.
Yeah, me too. All right, here we go.
So there's a clear pattern there kind of emerging. And that went on till April 21 and then abruptly stopped. And then all we were seeing was literally the quietest period I've ever known, certainly in 5 years. And I think that's the first time in 5 years as an established funeral director now that we actually lost money because there just wasn't anyone really passing away. And it wasn't unique to me. You know, I'm in a number of other groups with funeral directors and we joined these groups at the beginning of the pandemic thinking that we would perhaps need to support each other during the COVID pandemic, you know, if one of us fell over, and I'd hasten to add nobody has. Do you know? Mm. So, about 3 weeks ago, the death rate started to pick up again. And I'm now seeing people of all ages in, and all of them are vaccine recipients, almost exclusively. And the range of deaths is heart attack, sudden undiscovered heart condition that's led to a heart attack, blood clots, stroke, and multiple organ failure. Those are the four consistent groups that I'm seeing, or the four consistent types of death that I'm seeing. And it's all ages. I went to get my hair cut a couple of weeks ago, went into my local barbers and they're all very somber and down. I kind of said, all right, guys, what's up? One of the barbers in there, 23, had died an hour and a half after he'd taken his second jab, you know, heart attack at 23 years old. I've had a guy in whose father went down and got a jab and was paralyzed almost instantly. He was then seen as vulnerable. So they gave him a second jab 3 weeks in, and he was found dead at home the following day. I've had a gentleman in who I was doing a funeral for. His mum went blind almost immediately. I've obviously, since I've gone public about my concerns, nobody wants to talk to me now. You know, the BBC, the silence is deafening. They're quite happy for me to promote the hysteria. But now I'm actually voicing concerns and seeing a pattern of death related directly to the vaccines. Nobody wants to talk about it now, and this is despite the fact that there are a number of very, very eminent people, thousands of doctors globally, nurses, consultants, professors, virologists, all saying the same thing. The government seem to be pressing ahead and blackmailing, coercing, and forcing people, and slowly creating a two-tier kind of Nazi-type society for a pandemic that isn't there. And the Delta variant, I can tell you, is widely recognized within the NHS as vaccine injury. It's not a virus. It's vaccine injury. And I can tell you as a funeral director working on the coalface, you've been told and weaved a very elaborate lie to convince everyone that they're ill and there's a dangerous virus and you need a life-saving jab. And the real death rate was in care homes as a result of midazolam, and then the deliberate relabeling of every normal death as a COVID death, and then we've seen the extreme death rate once they actually began vaccinating, and it is definitely 100% that, I can tell you, as a funeral director. Now, some of the families that come to me are totally unaware, and I ask every family is their loved one jabbed? And they'll say, yeah, they're double jabbed, but it couldn't have been that because it was 8 weeks ago. They just don't see the connection, and I'm not there to call their bluff. I'm there to look after their mum or dad. I see the connection consistently, and I also see great efforts being made not to acknowledge it. Now, two things are going to happen shortly, and I can tell you this with amazing foresight. They're already jabbing children. They've been inventing new variants, a newly named variant every other month. And the idea of that is there isn't a variant, is to get you used to the idea of there being a variant. And what will happen shortly with all these children that they're injecting is children will get sick and children will die as a direct result of these injections. It will swiftly be labeled as a new variant. They will parade crisis actors and bereaved parents on the TV, mainstream media, urging you to get a jab and protect the children. It's a certainty. It will happen, and I'm waiting for it to happen. 100%, I've got no doubt in my mind, and you'll all be amazed at the amazing foresight I had. If you're in any doubt, take a look at where you live and what is going on and who's passing away, and they're all jab recipients, and any funeral director with an ounce of integrity and honesty would tell you that. And since kind of going public, I've had about 45 different funeral directors or people working in the funeral industry that have directly reached out to me. They're very aware of what's gone on. They're all very, very, very scared and frightened. If they're willing to murder people the way that they're doing, I suspect that they won't think twice about silencing people like myself. And I know my days are numbered for daring to speak the truth. But the reality is this: there is no COVID pandemic, and I'm living proof of that.
Got it? There is no COVID pandemic. And he is living proof of that. He would have been infected 100 times over. This is a fraud, an enormous worldwide global fraud, and it is being aided and abetted by people from the bottom to the top of the professional healthcare industry. They are cowards, many of them. There are a few who will stand up. This is a very brave human being. And he's got 45 friends or thereabout in his profession who have underscored everything he said. For God's sakes, don't let them anywhere near your children. And I would just suggest to all of you, under no circumstance, voluntarily allow any needle for anything to be stuck in your body anymore. No, don't trust them. I don't trust them, any of them. And I hope you don't either. Erica?
Yeah, we're living in the age of biowarfare. I mean, we don't need, or they don't need bullets anymore.
Or nuclear bombs? No.
No, this is far more devastating.
Oh, they want the real estate. They don't want a mess. They don't
right.
want radioactive debris.
Yep.
It's
And they've got people lining
obvious.
Up voluntarily for this.
I saw one today, the lady in the pharmacy.
Yeah,
I wasn't in the pharmacy. It was part of the store, but she was right there. She was asking, why can't I get my Pfizer?
I'd be curious to ask her why she had settled on the Pfizer. What was the criteria for that decision as opposed to Moderna?
I had the sense that she thought it was, I had a sense that she thought it was safer. No, that's really, that's what I thought. I don't know. I almost went over there, but I didn't want to get the police called on me. And that's happened when I was in the store with my magnet, you remember?
That's right.
Trying to see if the meat department was magnetic. And that one customer didn't like it. She thought I was trying to contaminate the meat or something. Oh.
It's exceptionally difficult to overcome somebody that's made up their mind and they're already, you know, demanding the vaccine.
Don't bother me with the facts. My mind is made up.
Yeah, they don't want to be talked out of it at that point.
They're going down. And there's nothing that can be done about it in a lot of cases. Now, you out there, I'll bet 99% of you have tried to help people and have been met with stark resistance. And that's a grievous thing to have to deal with. Very disconcerting. Okay, let's go back to this UK funeral director.
It's all been designed to get you to believe it and to take a vaccine that they're now. Do you know how many children I've had in, or that I've heard through my network of funeral directors in maybe a 50 or 60 mile radius, children that have died from COVID in the last, well, since it began? Not one. Not a single child has passed away from COVID that I'm aware of. And I would be aware, because it would be big news, you know. I don't doubt somewhere they will magic up some child and label them with a COVID death, because they've done that with many other deaths. There are no children that have died from COVID, so there is no reason whatsoever to put these gene therapies into children. None at all. It's absolutely indefensible. And the fact that they try and coerce a child of 12 to give consent when they can't consent to sex, they can't buy a beer, they can't get married, and they can't vote, kind of tells the story, doesn't it? You know, here we have a depopulation agenda, and part of that depopulation is two fronts that they attack on. One is to kill people, and I'm seeing that as a funeral director. And number two is to sterilize or disable children to stop them from repopulating later on in life. And you have to remember that a child of 12 who's given an injection that's going to affect their fertility, when will that become apparent? If they don't die and they're not sick, it's going to be 10 years really before anyone knows. And I can tell you that is what's happening. I'm utterly convinced. And I've been, I've had 40, 45 funeral directors for all different companies. Some of them for the co-op. Workers have reached out to me, very scared, and they've said they totally agree with me. I've spoken to nurses of 20 and 30 years, and I've also spoken to doctors, professors, and more harrowingly, a number of victims, a large number, an ever-growing number of victims and people that have kind of said, thank you so much, and reached out to me because they've not got nowhere else to go, you know, because nobody's listening to them. They're not interested. They're so busy oppressing them and blackmailing them and coercing them into lining up for a jab that's killing them. You know, now, the one thing that's going to happen is the children. The second thing that we're going to find, right, is in the NHS, they're in the same circle that I am. They see what's happening, and I can tell you they see the suffering before that deceased comes to me. So they know full well that this Delta variant they mentioned a while ago is vaccine injury, and I've had that confirmed to me by a plethora of medical specialists.
Okay, again, just let me underscore that. The Delta variant is the vax. Please don't forget that, and do share it. And this video will be up for you to use and pass around to whomever will sit down and listen to it.
I looked after last year. He was a guy that lost his partner, and he confided in me. He said, they're extremely dangerous. Please, John, don't touch them. And this man has a family. And he said that he would never take it, ever. He said, because they're extremely dangerous. And he went on to explain to me that the testing procedures were actually halted. They were getting through 200 rhesus monkeys a week. That was testing because they were all dying. So they stopped animal testing. And this is the same stuff they're putting in your veins in these immunization centers for a kebab, for a free taxi ride, for a reduction in your jail term, you know. It's not right. It's not normal. Why can't people see that, you know? But we've now got people everywhere that are so convinced because they've had 18 months of total brainwashing that they believe it and they're scared to death. And I watch children walk to school with a mask on in the open air. People sitting in their cars, they're all terrified and they're not being told the truth. The truth is it's these injections that are damaging and killing people. And I'm seeing that firsthand as a funeral director. And I need to tell people, because if I don't put my head above the parapet and sacrifice myself, who else is going to? And it'll be no good me reflecting from one of the massive new holding centers they've built globally everywhere. Do you know, there's a massive holding center, brand new prison. We've been talking, as a society, we've been talking about prison overcrowding for decades. I'm 53 now, and I've heard it being talked about for decades. So we're now at a point in time where the economies globally are on their knees They're on their knees, and yet they've found the money to build super prisons, super huge, 30,000 internment camps. What do you guys think they are for? They're for people who won't take the vaccine. They're going to call them quarantine camps, FEMA camps. They're going to put you in these camps, and I can tell you, you will swiftly be dispatched, and you'll be called a COVID death. We're seeing exactly what we saw, allegedly, in the Second World War. Now, the one locally is at a place called HMP Wellingborough. They're absolutely huge. It's going to take like 30,000. The buildings are huge X shapes, and I would urge anyone to get on Google Earth and have a look at HMP Wellingborough. There's supposed to be another one in a place called Glenparva in Leicester, and they have a crematorium next door and a huge mortuary next door. You tell me what that is for at this place and time, where we are now. Why do we need these facilities building when the economy is on its knees? Who is that benefiting and what is it for? I would suggest it's for people that will not accept these lethal injections, because you're over the next 5 years, you're going to see pretty much everyone that you know and love potentially die if they're a vaccine recipient. And I've heard this is things that I've heard from far more qualified, eminent specialists than me, highly respected men, universally acclaimed. And I'm seeing the start of that as an undertaker now, with people coming in their 40s, 50s. I've got a guy in his 30s. you know, people that shouldn't be dying. They shouldn't be getting heart conditions. They shouldn't be suffering stroke. And that's happening right now. And yet now they're targeting children. When will people wake up? Will it be when children die, or will they believe the new variant yarn that they're going to be told? And I can tell you, that's what they will say. It's a brand new variant. It's targeting children. We've all got to protect the children, and they may well try and mandate on the back of that. And then the manhunt begins, and they'll be able to fill up these large quarantine centres, won't they?
They're building them everywhere too. They're building them here in Australia. The quarantine
I've been in touch with a number of people. Globally from Australia, New Zealand, my heart goes out to you. I'm honestly of the opinion that the only one that's going to save Australians is Australians.
They've got to stand up. The people have to stand up. I mean, there's a lot of pushback, but not enough. And not enough people are aware that it's a fraud, you know, and it is. It's a quantifiable fraud.
100%.
What's some piece of advice you'd like to give to people? Try to keep this short. So I'll post this interview up. I'll post it up on BitChute so people can look at it.
Yeah, please do.
But let's keep it short so they watch it, you know?
My advice to you is to get out there and let your politicians know exactly what you think. There's strength in numbers. You are the power collectively, because the way they're chipping away at society, pretty soon you're going to be dragged off to one of these camps. How many people in your street is going to come out their house and stop that happening? If you don't help yourself, nobody else will, I can tell you. And you'll be rounded up into these camps. There'll be an outbreak in these camps of COVID, and you'll see people carted out. Some people will buckle, and they'll accept a lethal injection just to get back released to be on home lockdown. The time is now to do something, because I can tell you as a funeral director, it'll be no good us reflecting in 12 months' time from inside a prison cell, wishing that you'd have done something, wishing you'd have saved your children. The time to do it is now. And speak out. If you're in the industry, you need to speak out. If you're in the NHS and you're about to lose your job because you're refusing the vaccines that you know is doing this damage, for Christ's sake, speak out. You owe it to people. Very interestingly, the Hippocratic Oath, or the hypocritical oath, as I call it now, in hospitals, as was revised in 2001 to omit the wording, we will do no harm. You know, so does that give people license now to harm people? I've spoken to nurses who have been called into rooms and been told by senior medical management teams to deliver a dose of 60 milligrams of midazolam, a fatal dose, to patients that are not even dying, patients labelled with COVID in a fundamentally flawed process. The PCR test should never be done on more than 10 cycles. The guy who invented that test, those were his words, and incidentally, he's dead now. You know, he died a short while ago. They're doing 45 cycles. So the way it works is if you're a cancer patient, you go in hospital for palliative care. And basically, palliative care or the Liverpool pathway means you're starved to death with a morphine driver in you. And don't get me wrong, for some people, that may be the most merciful end. And I can respect that. But the key element here is consent. And these people are having DNRs placed on them, and they're being coerced and blackmailed into signing these Liverpool pathways for people that are not even dying. Do you know, people that were designated as COVID with a test that is nondescript. It just doesn't, it's not illogical. There's no science behind it. The guy who invented it has said that, and yet they're driving forward and killing people. What more do you need to know, guys? And now they're targeting your children. What are you going to do? Are you going to allow it? Are you just going to roll over? Are you going to get led off to a camp? You know, there are enough good people out there to really make a difference, but only if you work collectively to do that. And I suspect, as I've said before, the only people that will save you guys is you. You know, you can't. I've listened to what your government said over there. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's barbaric. It's almost very, there are echoes of Nazi Germany in there, you know, and then some. You're being blackmailed, coerced, forced, every crime under the sun, every crime, threatened with your job. You can't see your mum, you can't travel, you can't work, you can't go out, you can't go food shopping, you can't go to a kid's play park. These are fundamental human rights that you've lost. And it can only ever end one way, with a van pulling up outside your house and leading you off to an internment centre. And that is where it will end. And it will end the same way here. And I would suggest that Australia is probably the test bed, because although it's a big place, there is nowhere to go. So I would urge you guys to band together and to collectively take action. Take action. I'm not encouraging crime, but you are victims of crime. So, do you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? All I can tell you is my experience as a funeral director, and I've watched and dressed well over 100 COVID cases now, many of them still warm. You're being lied to. You're being lied to.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, bro. I'll post this. And
you're more than welcome. And I would say, do you know, anyone that wants to reach out to me to verify who I am, my name is John O'Looney, and I work at, it's my own funeral home, it's Milton Keynes Family Funeral Services in the UK. Do a search, you'll find me, and please do reach out to me to verify who I am, because I'll be happy to pick up the phone, because we'll leave a legacy, guys, and if my legacy is truth and honesty, and I say one of you out there, your families are just as important as mine, you know, so if that is my gift to the world before I'm swiftly dispatched from it, I'll take it.
No worries, brother.
Wow. What a great inspirational human being this guy is. What has happened to Americans? We are victims, as he said very eloquently. We are all victims of a monumental, satanic, incomprehensibly evil crime. This plandemic, this fraud. And again, I don't want to belabor the point, but there are a hell of a lot of people at various levels in the professional health field who know what they're doing. You heard him say he heard a doctor give a nurse an order to give such and such 60 milligrams of, what is it?
Oh, midazolam.
Yeah.
Midazolam.
A fatal dose. That's murder. That's mass murder in the hospitals, carried out by hospital staff. Now, many of you work in hospitals right now and in the health field, and you're wonderful people. And you probably know what's going on. If you were ordered to give somebody a fatal dose, would you do it? Apparently, most do.
Yeah, it's unconscionable.
It's beyond that. It's.
I mean, without the cooperation of the members of the healthcare system, they couldn't pull this off.
Thank you. I couldn't say it any better. That's my biggest gripe. The rank and file who are working in the professional healthcare field, who have gotten vaxxed, are willfully and willingly participating in the murders of countless people. You heard him say the PCR test should be used at no higher than 10 cycles. He's right. And they've cranked it up to 30 cycles. And if you look at Kerry Mullis, he's on the home page. Listen to what he says. He says it's not worth it. It's the second video. PCR inventor Dr. Kerry Mullis explains how his Nobel-winning test is useless for COVID and can find virtually anything in the human body when it's misused.
It was never, ever, ever intended to be a diagnostic. And if you were to use it for a diagnosis, it would have to be in the presence of clinical symptoms and then confirmed with a secondary test of some sort, either serology or protein, or all by itself, it's meaningless.
That's real medicine.
And now they've even admitted it. The CDC has admitted it. It's not appropriate. It's not reliable. And yet, it's being used to set policy and make diagnoses and determine treatment, which that ought to scare anybody, because they're immediately tested upon admission to the hospital. And if you get a positive COVID test, then you're sequestered on the COVID floor, and you may not get the treatment you want, well, that you should have.
No,
you might go in there for a stomach ache or something else. And
stay away from hospitals. Stay away from hospitals and doctors. And for you doctors out there who are good people, and you nurses and the rest of you who are working the field, who know and care about truth, you're in a bad position, but you've got to stop. You've got to play a role too. You've got to stop this. You've got to turn doctors in who order the deaths of patients.
Yeah,
you have to speak up. That made me, I don't even have words for it. This will be up in headlines shortly, and you'll see it. It'll be right near the top. What did I title it? UK funeral director, I'm dealing with murder victims, end quote. The Delta strain is the kill shot at work. Watch. That's what it says. There's your video. We're really at the end of the line here. You don't do anything now, it's over.
It really is. It's getting down to the wire.
Second story, multiple VAERS numbers. Multiply VAERS numbers by 100, and you might be close. That's from a COVID whistleblower. Says VAERS is wrong and undercounted by a factor of 100 at least. And then you see this other story. I put this up there, too. The CNN racist Don Lemon is now urging viewers that it's time to start shaming unvaxxed people. It's insane. This is not a normal, and look how fast they did it. You understand? This was literally overnight on the big calendar.
It didn't take long at all.
No. And the people who are vaxxed, who are feeling great, well, let me tell you again, you probably got saline. You got a placebo. That's why you're fine.
Yep.
They could not have everyone who got a shot get sick, so they had to give out X number of percentage of shots that were saline or some other, not vitamin B, whatever.
It's interesting that the monkeys that were dying in the test subjects, the trials,
they
ought to tell you something.
They all died. They all died back in the Pfizer earlier tests. All the ferrets, I think they used ferrets, dead, all of them.
Well, that wasn't, that was just the typical coronavirus vaccine. The mRNA, this protein expression gene, I might call it therapy for a better word, this is all new. But you know, if you understand the technology that you're introducing, or you're, I guess, tricking your body into producing a foreign protein against its better judgment, giving it no choice but to force it to produce this very, very toxic protein. you know, it's these outcomes are not surprising one bit. This is not a vaccine. This is dysregulating, you know, your protein regulation, your immune system, everything, cellular signaling.
It's a carrier. It's a carrier. It's a vector. And the J&J and AstraZeneca, the Johnson, remember, in those two, they use the adenovirus, which we do not think is attenuated nearly enough, and it quite easily could become infectious and being easily transmitted from person to person, carrying its deadly code in it.
Yep.
There's so many. This is so evil and so incredibly well planned. It boggles my mind, and I'm not a scientist or a doctor. I'm just amazed at all the different angles that are being played here. They know.
Yeah,
the psychology. They knew the psychological damage that would come. Go ahead.
Well, it's just, yeah, I mean, they've co-opted the media to perpetuate it.
Oh, they own the media. Right.
They own the media, you're right. They own the media. And then they're just using basic psychology, you know, the herd mentality and fear. And it's working, and it's incredible. I had my suspicions at the very beginning of this. You know, I knew about coronaviruses from research I had done years ago with cats. And I knew that this was never a virus that you could vaccinate against. It's always an issue of susceptibility with coronavirus because it isn't the virus that kills the person. It's the person's immune system that does all the damage.
Right.
It's the response to the virus and the dysregulated, you know, the cytokine storm and the inflammation that follows. So when Trump said he was going to shut down the country and give everybody a $1,200 check, I knew something was up. That's not the way to handle this. So, and now here we are 18 months into it, and it just gets more bizarre by the day.
We're running out of time. We're at the end of the line, friends, which is oddly what I named my radio program when I started it in 1994. The end of the line. And how portentous was that? I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You don't have much time, dear friends. And I don't know what's going to happen, except I would leave on the table up front the release of another bioweapon, a real bad one, like Marburg, like Ebola, right, or something else. That's impossible. If the Cumbre Vieja volcano lights up and it kicks off its left half, or whatever it is, and we have a tsunami, you know what that'll do? That will take everyone's mind off of this mass genocide for months or many weeks. And they'll just keep ramping it up. Remember, when things get tough and people start asking questions, you scare them with something else. So it wouldn't surprise me if that happens, even though it could geologically be 1,000 years away. All the indications are now that something may happen there.
Well, it can keep, you know, these natural disasters will keep people in a state of high anxiety, and, you know, the unpredictability of it is very unnerving. And people will lose it. They'll lose it mentally, psychologically.
Suicide rates will go up.
Mm-hmm.
Antidepressant prescriptions will go through the roof, etc. Believe me, and there are going to be people, and you mentioned this the other night, who will have lost family members, loved ones, children, who are not going to go out quietly. They're not.
I can't imagine unless they've been somehow subdued.
Right, which is a possibility. Now, there's an essay. An essay. Where are we now? It's an article.
Mm.
Whatever. Should I read this?
Sure.
You want to introduce it?
This was written by a gentleman, a British gentleman, who's currently living in Africa at the moment. I don't know which country, but he sees what's going on. He really. quite smart academically in terms of, I guess, biophysiology, that type of thing. And he sees what's going on, and his eyes are wide open, and he's now taken it upon himself to make preparations because he is of the mindset that there's no turning this around at this point. So if you want to have a future, think about a future, he's kind of laid out what's coming, what's likely to happen, and much of it is in the scripture. If you want to know where we're at in this whole playbook, it's more or less prophesied. So he took the time to put this together and in a very logical fashion that anybody can understand. And if you know you want to consider what he said, you can make plans, act accordingly.
Okay, where we are now, Craig Pardon Cooper. According to the document, the implementers are desperate to vaccinate as many people as possible before the vaccine effects, injuries, become apparent. The stages they will follow include Phase 1, vaccinate the easy people who can't wait to get the shot. Phase 2, offer incentives and rewards to convince those sitting on the fence. Free donuts, free beer, lottery tickets, and so forth. Phase 3, punish those who refuse to get vaxxed by taking away their rights. No entry, no travel, no supermarkets. You get it. Phase 4, criminalize vaccine resistors by passing mandatory vaccine laws. Due November 2021. Phase 5, gunpoint medicine. Launch door-to-door vaccine squads to forcibly vaccinate people at gunpoint against their will. From December 2021 to January 2021. That's when he thinks it'll start. Right now we're in Phase 3, moving for Phase 4, which is the criminalization of vaccine resistors. He's quite right. What happens next? He writes, however, once they have achieved a 70 to 90% reduction in population, this will result in the collapse of all services and infrastructure. The result will be shortages of everything. Government will lose control as tribes and gangs take over the cities in their search for food and supplies. Eventually, even ammunition will run out since all production will have ceased, and weapons such as swords and bows will be used by these gangs. Think crossbow. People will gravitate out of the cities toward food and water sources and form small defended communities. Next section. How do you prepare for stages 1 through 5? You should have already stored supplies for 3 to 4 years in hidden storage and have a method, a routine, set for bugging out. Once we reach Phase 4, you will need to become unlocatable, or you will face fines and detention. Phase 4 will arise automatically as soon as the vaccine is mandated. That's the criminalization of vaccine resistors. So a national vaccine mandate will criminalize people who haven't gotten it. Phase 5 will involve roadblocks and checkpoints. Your papers, please. How do you prepare for the aftermath? You will still need to be unlocatable most of the time and living off your stored supplies. The cities will be dangerous. Move to a rural area. You need to be as near as possible to fresh food and water resources. Join with others to form defensive groups. What have I been saying? Existing tribes, groups, with access to methods of defense. Groups. You need to have groups. The COVID project is due to be completed in 2025, and orders for the supply of body bags are until then. Deagle, forecast substantial population reductions by then also. If Christians are correct in saying that this is the tribulation, then the prohibition on buying and selling for the unvaxxed will last 3.5 years, September 21st to March 25th. Other things may happen during this time, such as criminalizing of the unvaxxed, resulting in detention. What happens inside detention is anyone's guess, since it seems that human rights have been abolished. If Christians are correct, then many will be put to death. If you can hold out until April 2025, you will see a meteor shower, he writes. It will set fire to many areas. However, this will be followed by much longer and larger meteors with apparently fire and vapor behind them burning, impacting the sea and the land. Many ships will be destroyed. The impacts will cause crustal instability, resulting in eruption of volcanoes, which we're already seeing, by the way. After that, a war will break out between the East and the West. It will be non-nuclear, fought by conventional means. We will win. Sorry, you Chinese readers. The CCP will be history by 2029, replaced by something better. At least that's how he sees it right now. So there's a lot to think about there, for sure. 3 to 4 years supply of food? If people have 6 months, that's extraordinary.
Oh, the vast majority don't even have that.
No, no, 98% don't. We're talking 1% to 2%.
Yep.
Do remember what the Department of Homeland Security... This is international communist Bolshevik globalism. Just understand that, too. A year ago, last November, the DHS warned all Americans, you can look the story up, I've run it several times, to be prepared to be without electricity for at least 6 months. Do you understand? I'm sure most of you do. If there's no power, no electricity, and you're in a city, or you're anywhere, what that's going to be like? Dog eat dog. And don't rule out cannibalism. When people get hungry, they don't give a damn. Cannibalism is common in Africa. And it is said that because many African Americans have not been vaxxed, that the inner city variety will form gangs and will do whatever they want.
It'll right, be wild.
I
think, when people get into those situations where, you know, the creature comforts are gone and they're under undue stress, you're going to see sides of people that you never imagined. I mean, those survival situations will bring that out in people.
Sides of people that you never imagined were there. Never.
Yep.
There's an old expression, you never really know your spouse until you divorce them.
Yeah, you get somebody in a state where they're uncomfortable, and you really do see their true colors. And this is going to be kill or be killed in some cases.
In many cases. I don't think they're going to try to take weapons away from people. I think they want them to have them, because
mm-hmm.
it'll exacerbate and certainly increase the brutality that will be the way it's going to be. In many areas.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to become unlocatable. That's hard. That's very hard for most people. The idea of going after children with these kill shots is so repugnant to a normal human mind that has still some values. I just don't understand how people are not... I think it's Pfizer that's going after five-year-olds now.
Yeah, they're due to get their approval shortly.
Little children being vaccinated with this crap. Oh, they'll adjust the vials, the formula. It'll
mm-hmm.
be more aligned toward sterilization of little girls and little boys, so they won't be able to procreate. And that will be observable, but not for another 10 years, 15 years. It's going to be a whopper. It's going to be.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're going to see some real ugliness in the next coming months.
October, November. I think last Christmas was the last Christmas. Those who care and who are still Christian will certainly celebrate it, but probably the last Black Friday sales. Maybe there'll be one more. I don't know. But it's going to go to hell very soon. And I find myself sitting here listening to what I'm saying, and I can hardly believe I'm saying it.
Yeah,
just a few years ago, things were still normal, relatively normal. They had the appearance of normalcy. All gone.
It's amazing, the brainwashing. It only really takes, what, 6 months maybe, if that?
That's a pretty good.
You know, you put somebody in a state of fear, and you can sell them anything.
Yeah. Well, they've been beating people with fear for a year and a half now. And look at the wreckage. Masks do absolutely nothing. Nothing. They do nothing for people. And yet I see them everywhere.
Well, what's more bizarre is watching the ones that are driving around alone in their cars with masks on.
Well, that's...
Or walking around outside.
That's pretty grim. There's nothing there, ladies and gentlemen. There's nothing out there to worry about. You'll see the flu again this year like it was here last year. They'll probably try to relabel some of it this year. They relabeled all of it last year, which was really stupid, but that's what they did. Tried to make it sound like this was such a much worse virus that the normal influenza never had a chance to establish itself. Wrong. We're going to see flu. And they may even release a variant or two. They can do that. They have
all the
technology.
Well, it could be in any one of these shots. I mean, the best way to get a virus into somebody and, you know, to make it infectious is to inject it.
Should people get, this is a rhetorical statement, should people get flu shots this year, Erica?
I wouldn't. Why?
Not on a bet. Not under, no chance. They won't. They'll put anything they want in these flu shots.
And they may have already been doing that.
For years.
You know, 2019. I suspect that 2019 was a beta test for these COVID shots. Because I know people that got the flu shot in 2019, and they were pretty sick after that shot. Mm-hmm. And they were making other people around them sick.
There you go.
So I don't know what was in that batch, but I suspect that could have seeded the pandemic. You know, if there is a distinct virus, I don't know.
We actually don't know.
We don't. We really don't.
Because of the misnaming of the influenza A and B, common cold, another coronavirus, everything was labeled. You heard the outrage from that funeral director. Everything was
labeled. And the virus has never been, you know, successfully or isolated to really characterize it. I mean, it was all computer generated, what they think it should be.
In 40 different countries, more, have not been able to isolate the virus.
Yeah. Or, you know, secondarily, shown that it is actually the cause of people dying. I mean, maybe it's there just as a coincidence or opportunistically.
No autopsies, remember, very, very few. And who do you trust? Is the data correct? Don't know. We live in the end times of lies. It's all lies. And one of the worst forms of lying is the lie of omission. Remember that too. Lying, several different flavors out there. Erica, thank you for being here, as always, and sharing this. And
as always, my pleasure, Jeff.
Okay. All right. Talk soon.
All right.
Take care.
Good night.
Night. Okay. Erica Kahn. Be right back with more in just a few minutes. Hold on.